Revelation chapter 21. Now, we stopped around verse 4, but I'm going to start reading at verse 1 again. We'll pick up here. So look here at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, adored as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So if you remember, we started talking about the millennial reign. We know that it's after the tribulation period. The Bible tells us we as believers will come back with Christ when he sets up his throne. We know it's 1,000 years. There's a little season when afterwards where the devil's loose and people have a decision to make who are bored during that time. To accept or reject Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, as we saw last week, there was a great multitude that rejected Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it's because of sin. Man loves sin. And even though they saw righteousness, even though they saw God as their Lord, you know, veiled in flesh, they rejected him and they followed the devil. And then we saw the great white throne judgment. You know, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I don't want to see anyone to be in there, but unfortunately we know there will be a great number of people that will stand there, give an account of their life, and be cast in like a fire. And then what we see is after that is taken care of in chapter 21, we can see that, as we know, the heaven and earth is destroyed. God created a new heaven and earth. We know that we'll dwell with him. And then verse 4 is kind of where we stopped last week. And so if you think about heaven at this time, right, wipe away tears, that's my thought would be the memory of those that we knew that will be in hell. We won't remember anymore because you won't have those tears. But you think about anything else that's associated with tears, right? Pain. You know, sometimes you think about pain and it talks about sorrow, no death, no crying. It talks about, you know, pain and the former things are passed away. Can I tell you, when you think about heaven, how wonderful it's going to be. Sometimes I think about heaven, you know, I'll be there with my Lord. I'll be there with my loved ones. I'll be there with my brothers and sisters in Christ who accept the Lord. Sometimes I sit there and I think about heaven, then I think about what won't be in heaven. Sin won't be there. And I'm so thankful that God has created a new heaven and earth where there'll be no sin, no temptation, no devil. Praise God for that. Amen. The devil and the demons will be cast in a lake of fire, and that's where they'll be. It's a wonderful thing when you think about that. Sickness, you know, it's said here, there's some sickness that's been going around. I've been sick a little bit. Thank you for praying for me, but no sickness. As we know, if you watch the news or you read the news, a war, there won't be any more wars. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. There'll be no more death. And you think about it, you know, the problems that we may have, physical problems, right? Mental problems. There's no things like that in heaven. Amen? It's all gone. There's no such thing as bad cholesterol. Amen? And get on medicine. Medicine is gone. Amen? Now, I'm thankful for the medicine that we have. I'm thankful there's medicine that you can take and help your cholesterol and help your blood pressure and other things. Sometimes I think people throw you on medicine instead of trying to give you another solution there. But you think about medicine. There's no medicine that's in heaven because we have those new bodies. And it's a wonderful thought when you think about that. Amen. There's not going to be, you think about that television. Amen. And all that wicked stuff. You're not going to have stuff like that anymore. Amen. It's a glorious thing. Give me a second here. Get some water. Think about it as there will be no McDonald's coffee that's there. Amen. Because that stuff is bad. Amen. I'm just joking. Amen. I know people that love McDonald's coffee. I'm not a fan of it. So. What's that? Tim Hortons. Yeah.
So.
Nope. But anyway, you think about it, it says the former things are passed away. So you think about all the evil things, the wicked things are gone. The memory of them are gone. The scars. I don't know about you, and I'm sure it's the case that you have this. I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me of my past. But can I tell you, the devil won't let me go. Amen. From that, the devil likes to remind me of my past. And sometimes it's my flesh that reminds me of my past. That's gone. So the reality is, you think about it, that all be taken care of. Amen. All gone. So it's a wonderful thing. And then as we continue on, he explains a little bit about heaven. He says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. You know, anything that God said is true and faithful. Amen. He's trying to give a point to get people's attention and saying, hey, here it is. You know, here's the truth. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Right? And we know he speaks of God. I don't know why I have come in here. Sometimes I have that. I have one up here. Give me a second. I think the air in here is just dry. Yep, I got a cough drop here. And I'll give unto him that a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm going to need another drink. Hold on. I just thought of another thing. No more coffin in heaven. Praise God for that. Amen. In verse 6, it's kind of a reminder to those who are reading the scripture. You can come. You can come to Jesus for salvation. You know? There's those that are out there that believe salvation is only for a certain group of people. The Bible says, whosoever. Anyone can come to Jesus Christ for salvation. There is enough blood that will cover your sins. Whosoever, right, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, when he says overcometh, he's not talking about work-based salvation. I'm going to be struggling tonight. Boy, I need some help here. The reality is, it's faith. Amen? The reason that you can be forgiven is by faith. You can't work for it. If you can work for it, what was the purpose of Jesus dying? Amen? There would be no purpose and reason for that, right? He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen? It's a glorious thing when you accept Christ as your Savior. He is your God, and you're a child of God. What a wonderful blessing. I remember my dad told me when he got saved, there was a pastor, Pastor Dino, down in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, was preaching. And my dad was, his biological dad didn't want him and disowned him. And my dad grew up he was adopted. But there was a time in his life he was homeless and he struggled with that. He battled with that. And he got mad at God at that because, you know, what his biological dad did. But it wasn't God's fault, right? It's the wickedness of man. And I remember my dad told me a story when he got saved that he was a mountain man. If he would hear. But anyway, he had a gun. I remember one time he told me he was so mad at God that he had, when he was back in the mountains, he took the gun up in the air and shot up in the air. It was like, I wish I could shoot you. You know, he was just so mad at God. And then someone invited him to church. He was at McDonald's. And someone looked at him and said, Bill, that was my dad's name. He said, Bill, you need Jesus. And my dad said, that's all that man told him. And he couldn't get away from that. He said he would lay his head down at night, and that's what he would think of. You know, Bill, you need Jesus. Bill, you need Jesus. And his neighbor at the time, I thought it was Art, and I could be wrong here, invited him to church, and he went to church. And Pastor Dino preached a message, and my dad sat in the back. It was a very large church. It was probably about 1,000 people. It was a very big church. He sat in the back, and he preached about how God wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to be your heavenly Father. And my dad was sitting there, and it's like, wow, you know? How his biological dad wanted nothing to do with him. But God says, I want to be your heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit worked on him, and my dad got saved that day. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, you think about it as thank God for the parents that you have, and maybe unfortunately that you had some bad parents. You know, it's not God's fault. Thank God that you still have life and you're here. And if God blesses you and you have a family, do better, right? But one thing for sure, God wants to be your heavenly Father. He won't reject you if you come to Him. Verse 8, he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are not forgiven are those, think about those in verse 8, the reality is you would fall right in that category. Now, some people will say that you have to be perfect. Well, it is true. You do have to be perfect to go to heaven. And you and I can't be because we're tainted of sin. But He is perfect. And He's the perfect substitute. So remember that verse. If you go here to 1 John, to 1 John chapter 3. So to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. And since you and I are sinners, we can't go on our own, but we needed a perfect sacrifice. Look here what 1 John chapter 3 says. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Do you think about it? If you're a Christian, you're born again, you are already a son of God now. It's not a process. It's not, you know, you're hoping to be one day. It says now, right? He goes on and he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, right? Without sin. You know, it's hard for me in my brain to grasp that. I know one day that's going to happen when I'm in heaven to have that new body. One day I'll never have to say, Lord, forgive me again. You know, never have to say that. Never have to get things right. Why? Because I'm going to be like Him, not God. But what is he saying? Without sin. It goes on. And every man that has this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Now, verse 4, down through the next few verses, some people will take this and misinterpret it and try to justify, you have to be perfect. But that's not the case. Because if you take Scripture in contents and just read it right down through, you'll see what God is speaking of here. In verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins. In Him is no sin, right? So the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The book of James says, if you fail at one point, you're guilty of them all, right? And you can say, oh, I'm not a bad person, but I only did one thing wrong. Well, the Bible says you're all guilty, right? And here it is. He's saying we're all guilty, but the purpose and reason Jesus came is to be your substitute, right? Pay your sin debt. Verse 6. I'm not sounding too bad with this cough drop in, am I? Good. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Right? Now he's talking about those who get saved, right? You get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in. So don't forget this as we're going through, because now he's going to talk about your position in Christ. Remember, verse 1 and 2, he already said, Mark, you're a child of God now, right? So he's not talking about losing it, right? So as we continue on, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know, someone that truly gets saved, there will be evidence of salvation. Doesn't mean you're perfect. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. Now, he's talking about your position here, right? Since you've been saved, you have committed sin, right? He's talking about your position, and this is very important. Look what it says. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. How is that possible? Well, look. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. What the Bible is telling us is this. Remember, he came to be our substitute? That's what he did. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, Mark, I'm going to die for all your sins. He was buried and rose again. And Mark came as a young man, a teenager, I believe, right? As a teenager. Mark accepted the Lord as his Savior. That day, when Mark accepted the Lord as his Savior, all Mark's sins were nailed to the cross. They're forgiven. And now the Bible says he's a substitute. That means you took his righteousness and Jesus took Mark's sins. So what now it's saying is, because you have his righteousness, his seed remains in you, you can't sin positionally, because there's a substitute. The only way that Mark can be guilty of sin is for Jesus Christ to no longer be the perfect sacrifice. That's what the scripture is saying, right? So if you think about it, is the only way would be he has to sin, then he can no longer be the perfect sacrifice, and that means he can't be Mark's substitute. But since he is God, he is perfect, he can't sin. To be that substitute, that means when you accepted him, I accepted him, that means we take his righteousness and he takes our sin. So that's why when God looks at us, he calls us sanctified, holy. It's not because he's seen me per se, but he sees Jesus and he sees that I accepted him. That's why God says that I'm washed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That when he sees me, he sees the blood and he says I'm forgiven. That's why the Bible says I am justified. Just as if I have never sinned. Justified. How can God look at me as a wicked old sinner and see me as sanctified, washed, and justified? Because I have accepted his only begotten Son as my substitute. And he sees Christ. Always remember that. So when you go back here to Revelation chapter 21, down to verse 8, you may say, whoa, there's some things there that's me, right? That may be your flesh. But if you are saved, your position is forever settled. And the reality is you cannot lose what God has given you. That's a wonderful thing when you think about assurance of salvation. What God has given to you. That's why God said that he's going to make a mansion for you in heaven. That's one of the things you think about in heaven that we'll have. We'll have a mansion. If you lost your salvation, God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Here it is. He's building this mansion for Mark. And then Mark sins. And people say, well, you can lose your salvation. then that means in heaven, God either has to bulldoze destruction, or there's going to be a vacant home. The Bible tells us those things wouldn't be there, right? Because when you walk down Hot Sauce Avenue and you see vacant home, Mark.
I ain't living on that tree.
Yeah, well, that's why it's vacant. Right, there it is. So you have two choices, buddy. All right. But anyway, it would make you cry. But he says all tears are gone, right? So the reality is when God starts something, he's going to finish it. So anyway, as we're looking here at verse 9, now he's going to explain heaven and try to give us a picture of heaven, right? And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Here is John as he has this vision. And this angel takes him up to this mountain. And as he's up here on this mountain, John sees his vision of New Jerusalem that's coming down. And as he sees this New Jerusalem that's coming down, again, it's in his mind. It's a vision that's here. Here it is. God is going to describe some of the things of heaven, the beauty of heaven. Having the glory of God, her light was as light unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Imagine how wonderful and the beauty of it. Just looking when John saw that, how it must have looked like, where he described it as clear as crystal. And it had a great wall and high, and 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. He goes on and says, in the east, 3 gates, in the north, 3 gates, in the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. He's describing it. He sees, as he sees this vision that's here, and maybe it was turning around so he could see the other parts, or maybe God allowed him to see right through it so that way he could see gates on each side. There was angels that were guarding it. So you think about it, you only get, if you're saved, you're getting in. You're not saved, you're going to hell. And those gates that were there, and there's this huge wall that's up, right? He goes on and says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. It's interesting when you see they have the 12 tribes, which would be represent Old Testament, Israel. And now he has the 12 apostles, which would represent the church. And what you would see is it's all together. Now when you look here, it says the 12 apostle. The 12th apostle was Paul. Judas, he was a part of the ministry, and he betrayed the Lord. And Paul was the last apostle, and that's what you see here. 12 apostles, right? Wasn't 13, wasn't 18, wasn't, you know, anymore. It's 12. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. So he's going to just now try to provide the measurements of this New Jerusalem. And the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now furlongs, I wrote it down here, is approximately 600 feet. So what he's saying is, it's approximately 1,364 miles. And you're saying four square, right? So you see it just there. So the height of that is just is amazing. The length and breadth are of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is an angel, right? So he's given this measurement that's there. A cubic is about 18 inches, so the wall would be 216 feet. You know, so if you think about that, the walls that are there. It's just extremely high. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Can you imagine the precious jewels, what it's going to look like, the beauty, right? Think about building a wall. How many here would build a wall with precious stones, you know? People, you know, cinder blocks, right, or other things as walls. It's, you know, the last thing you want to put precious jewels in is the walls. When you think about the beauty of heaven, that even what we may consider the things that are, you know, I would not do that, right? How many would do for their pavement put gold, what you walk on, right? If you had gold, you're probably going to sell it. Amen. It's a good time to sell it. It's really high. And your walls, right? As in gates or, you know, that's there. So you think about the beauty. God's trying to help us to see the beauty of heaven. Where are we at? 18. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Imagine how beautiful heaven is just going to be. And the foundation of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So here it is. He's talking about this, right? Some of these names in here I am going to butcher, but you're used to that. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third of Chalcedony. Probably said Rome, but that's fine. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardox. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophrasis. I even tried to put it here to try to say it correctly, and I still said it wrong. The 11th, jasus. And the 12th, amethyst. You think about these. The jewels. Go to a jeweler and you go in and you look there, right? And you find a little jewel. You go to a grocery store, you go to a jeweler and you see some of those jewels and how much they cost. And they're small, right? I mean, if you think about it, sometimes you may get a bracelet, the lady gets a bracelet or whatever, may have some jewels in it, and then it's like, whoa. Debbie will, when she goes to, we'll go to the store and she'll go to the jewelry section that's there, and she'll look at it that's there, and you know what I'm doing, Jeremy? I'm trying to look down at that little white thing that's called the price tag, and it's like looking at it like, what does that say, you know? And the person will be like, hey, try this on. And I'm thinking, well, before you do that, let me see that little white thing there, you know? And what does it, whoa, that little thing you want $1,000 for? Sorry, dear, you know, that ain't going to happen. Amen. That thing is so, but you imagine those little jewels that are so small that can cost hundreds of dollars. This area, 1,364, you know, miles long and high, is filled with it. You imagine the cost, the value, if you could put a value on heaven, think about just the pure gold alone. And you think about, we'll be walking on streets of gold. The value of heaven, right? You think about the beauty, what God has done for us in heaven. It's just, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine a pearl that is big, that big, how much it would be, its value? And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. None of us. I can't imagine. I'm sure there may be someone that's been in the history of mankind, you know, that may have made a castle and maybe had sidewalk that was gold. Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure there's been. This is a whole. This is heaven. He goes on and says, and I saw no temple therein, for Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. Amen. I think about it. Every single day is going to be a day of worship and service, serving God. How wonderful it's going to be, you know, singing songs to Him. I mean, it's going to be a great time. And the city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. You think about when that sun goes down as it did now, it's dark out. There's not going to be that in heaven. You know? There's not going to be the politicians that will say, hey, let's make your clocks go back 1 hour, or let's go on forward. Nope, there's sun, right? Time is done. Amen? Praise God. You think about its beauty. And the nations of them which are saved, right? All nations, you think about every single person. It doesn't matter who you are, what nation you are from. You can be born again. It doesn't matter what nation you're of. Shall walk in the light of it. Amen? So you think about it. There are some people out there that are racist. That is ungodly. That is not of God. And God says all can come. Amen? And can I tell you, when you get into heaven, there's no such thing as people being racist, amen? That's evil. That's hatred. He goes on, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it. Now, again, he said he made us kings and priests, right? So you think about, there'll be those that God has made kings, and you know, that comes into it. So you think about how glorious it's going to be. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb books of life. Amen? Can I tell you that, what a glorious thought when you think about heaven? No sin, right? We're all going to finally get along. Now, I know we get along. It seems like we get along pretty well. But you think about it. Not everyone gets along, you know? If everyone got along, we wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have fightings. Unfortunately, we have, seems like, wars sometimes in families. That's not going to be the case in heaven. How glorious it's going to be. Let me read the next few verses here, and then I have some other thoughts here. And he showed me a pure river, the water of life. Now we know there's no sea there, but there will be water. Clear as crystal. I have gone to some places down to the ocean, like Ocean City and other places, and that water is so dirty. Just so dirty. Can you imagine water that is so clear? You know, you just look down and you can just see right in it. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, some people try to take this river here and link it up to Zechariah, and also link it up to Ezekiel. But those places are in the after tribulation, the millennial reign, when God has a river that's there. This is here, right? This is heaven. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Now, I have to say that part, the healing of the nation, the word healing is used different ways. One way it's used as household, so you could just say it's being used that way. Not 100% sure on it. But what we do know is this tree that's there, 12 manner of fruits, different fruits. So you think about this fruit, right? Well, there will be one fruit one month, one fruit another month. So you think about it, it's just a glorious thing. Amen? And can't imagine what it would taste like. Can you imagine having a tree like that? Amen? It's always fruitful, always bearing something. What a glorious thing. And there shall be no more curse. So verse 3, you could see that river, if there's no more curse, this has to be refers to its heaven, right? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know, in heaven, we're not going to be lazy. Now, our bodies aren't going to be tired. We're not going to sleep. But we're still going to serve God. I don't know if for sure all the things that we're going to do in heaven. God doesn't tell us everything. But I guarantee you, we're going to be busy doing something and we're going to like it. Amen? Whatever it is, because you're not going to have the sin nature. But we're going to serve Him. Even in heaven, think about this. God doesn't want us to be lazy. Amen? There's no laziness in heaven. And I love this. And they shall see His face. You're going to see Him. You're going to know, we're going to know God, right? See His face. Amen? What a glorious thought. His name shall be on, in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and there is no need of candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen? With Him. Amen? So, if you think about what heaven, right? You think about heaven as a holy place. Heaven, there is no sin. Heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is referred to as paradise. Heaven, think about the beauty of heaven. The Bible talks about mansions, right? There'll be mansions in heaven. There'll be a glorious throne. He talks about seven lamps of fire. The glorious foundation and pavement. Different and wonderful creatures. There'll be singing in heaven. Godly singing. A golden altar of incense, flying angels, rest from earthly labors. We know there's white horses, so there are animals that are there. We know at least white horses. A river, right? A tree. Ivory places, it's in Psalms. Lovely fragrance, so be wonderful smells. Fullness of joy. It's going to be a place of glory. Let's see here. God's bright light will be there. His great beauty. It'll be a place with no unpleasant thing, no sorrow, pain, or death, no hunger or thirst, no darkness. It's a place of service. It is a place where everyone will be like the Lord, as in sinless. If you think about heaven, how glorious it'll be. And I saw this, I got this, and I copied this down. This was from back in 1989. There was a bulletin that went out, I think from Way of Life. I could be wrong. But he said, if you think about what won't be in heaven, there'll be no more sea. There will be no more sorrow, no more sickness nor suffering, no more darkness nor shadow, no more sin, no more curse. Nothing that defileth will enter in, and no devil and no demons, right? Now, the truth of the matter is, if I stood up here and tried to tell you everything of heaven, you know, yeah, there's some things that we will not know until we get there. But it's a beautiful place. Do you know in heaven we'll know each other? We will, right? So you think about when, I forget who it was, when our Lord, the transform, what is it? I forget what it's called, transformation, when Moses, and who was it? Elijah was there, I think it was. Peter knew him. And our Lord said later something about Abraham. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know them. Matter of fact, even the rich man in hell looked and he knew who Abraham was. He never saw him before. So you think about in heaven, we're going to know people. We'll know each other, right? We'll know, right? Now, in heaven, I won't know, you know, she's not my wife. She's saying it wouldn't be heaven if we were, right? But she won't be my wife, but I'll know Debbie, right? And I'll know you. So you think about it, we'll know these things, and we'll surely know who He is. But the memory of all those evil, wicked things will surely be gone. Amen? And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that. Amen? I'm looking forward to the day that I meet my Lord, and I could just tell Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You love me that much, that You died for me, that You paid my sin debt. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I'm looking forward to the day where I get to meet. I believe it's my mom had two twins that died. And I think they were brothers. I get to meet two brothers, Mark, I never met. You know, it'll be a glorious thing, you know. They'll meet my brother, see, man. And, you know, before God wipes away the tears, they'll have to tell him, you know, I'm still the best looking kid at the family. And then he'll wipe away the tears and they won't think about it anymore. What's that? That's why they'll wipe away the that's why I'm saying it. I am the best looking one, Mark. You know, I agree with you. You and I are in agreement. Amen. So that's funny. But anyway, see others that are there. Amen. Loved ones that have gone on before us. Amen. And I'm sure there is so much more that you could talk about of heaven. But the most glorious thing is, if you're saved, you'll be there. Amen? I hope that you are saved. Because if you are, one day you'll be there. If I die before you, you can rest assured. You don't have to say if you're saved. When you come to see my coffin, you don't have to say goodbye. But you could say, I'll see you later. You know? Death is just me leaving my body and going to heaven, right? It's not goodbye, but I'll see you later. Father, Lord, I'm sure that I probably could have said so much more about heaven, how it's our home, how there's a place waiting for us, these mansions that you have for us, the angels that are there, the singing that are there, the wonderful sounds. Lord, it's just going to be a wonderful place. Lord, the truth is, we probably don't even know all the things that you have prepared for us. I know that we don't know all the things you have prepared for us. Eye has not seen it. But Lord, I know how wonderful it's going to be. I just pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And I pray that you would just help us to be faithful to you. Help us do our best to try to bring people to you. Help this sickness that's going around. And Lord, help people to get better from it. And just keep us safe. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.